Well, Andrew, we're here. We did it.
I'm here.
I'm here. I have to drive to that side of town later on this afternoon. Emily's got a lacrosse game, and that's, as you know, it's not a close drive, and with traffic, it's not fun.
Tim, I don't understand why you don't drop your daughter off at school on Mondays, take a nap on the couch in my office.
That would be the only option.
You could do one of your 12 workouts of the day here in beautiful downtown Safety Harbor. Run on our boardwalk.
I'd have to bring all of my dumbbells. I don't know. It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work.
They have the body weight workout like built-ins.
I saw that.
So you could jump in, do some of that. Tim, I think you've got so many options.
CJ, I wanted to hang out with Andrew. The plan was to be there in person. It just didn't work out the way I wanted it to. I'm terribly sorry.
Not only did the plan not work out in person, but he didn't mention that the plan wasn't going to work out in person until about 10:20, once I had already moved all of the gear into my office. And oh, by the way, I got less than 2 hours of sleep last night and could have stayed home this morning. But I was like, hey, Tim's actually coming in.
Wow.
So some people communicate with their friends, and some people are Tim Miller. Different strokes for different folks. It's just, kind of how it goes.
All that to say, yesterday was Sunday.
And we really do love each other. And this is the morning after.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
So we are back. We spring broke last week, which was really weird. This was an early spring break, right?
It's an early spring break. It's an early Easter. It's a weird year.
So we, as a family, Andrew, we chose to stay together as a family. We decided to take a vacation. We snuck out of town. We didn't go anywhere fancy, crazy. I mean, it was really nice. But for us, Orlando is, it's 90 miles away. It's not a huge drive. It's far enough to get away and to, have some family fun and spend way too much money on food and anything else you want to do. And when you have a family of seven, Andrew, you cannot go out to eat for under $200 with a family of seven in Orlando. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, we went over to City Walk to do Margaritaville. That was a bad idea. I saw the bill and I'm like, I paid for parking and I have to pay for this food ticket.
I don't know if I'll one up you, but my family, our spring break was a little bit different than yours because, my wife had to escort a family member. That sounds strange. My wife went up to be with her dad in Arkansas. He just bought the house next door to him for her aunt, who is not able to travel on her own anymore. And so Melissa was the one traveling with her aunt on the trip. And so it was me and the boys, and we, for the first time ever, did Rainforest Cafe after a day at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And
you saw the bill because all of your kids don't order kids menu items anymore. Or did you make them?
No, I don't make them. Unlike your kids that are little animals, my kids are thrilled to eat the kids menu. My oldest is 14 here in just a couple of weeks, and he would prefer that he orders off the kids menu because he just wants mac and cheese or grilled cheese.
Now, when we went to the Japanese steakhouse, I told the waiter all of my kids are doing the kids menu options, and that seemed to be just fine. But for other restaurants, that was not enough for. Usually my older two, they need a little bit more than mac and cheese or chicky tenders. But, if you can stay on the kids menu longer, I'm proud of you. That saves a lot of money in the long run. CJ says, while pregnant, my wife would ask to order off the kids menu because she was with child. That's a great idea. Andrew, any money-saving vacation tips? Because apparently I'm going to need them because we went way over budget on our vacation this year.
I've got nothing. Although the place that I stayed with the Larson boys was spectacular. We are typically a Hyatt Place family for whatever reason, we have just really come to love the Hyatt Place hotels. And for the first time in a long, not for whatever reason, I'm cheap and I want free breakfast built in to my room. And but for the first time in a very long time, we stayed elsewhere. We stayed at a Marriott property that also had built-in breakfast. And Timmy, we did good. It was a place that I think it was like a, I'm trying to think of the name of it, but it was by Calypso K. And so there were three hotels and a timeshare all sharing the resort amenities. And so I felt really bad that there were people taking the timeshare tour as I'm sitting by the pool with my kids. And I'm like, you know, you could just like get this room for like $160 a night and you don't have to actually buy into the timeshare to use a pool with a waterfall. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then they
came. We got the timeshare call every morning at 9 a.m. My wife was like, can you please tell them we're not doing the tour? Because look, if you sat through the pitch, if you're an owner, you get a $300 gift card, like a MasterCard gift card. If you are not an owner, we're not. My parents are owners. We're not the owners. You get a $150 gift card. We did not sit through the timeshare pitch. Probably should have. That would have taken care of half of one of our dinners. That would have been great. So when we vacation, we typically do breakfast in the room, lunch at the pool when we go to this location, and then dinner out somewhere fun. So that was the plan all week, and it just, the bill racked up really quick.
Our rule of thumb is breakfast at the hotel, one meal in the park, because we were Disneying. So one meal in the park and then one like fast food meal.
So you could do what Erica does. If you have stomach surgery, you simply explain that to the manager and they let you, as an adult, order off the kids menu because you don't eat that much. That's another option. Good money-saving tip there. It requires surgery, but it's a money saver for sure.
It's the surgical option, but I think, in general.
Was it weird, just you and the boys, no Melissa, on spring break? Have you guys ever spring broke without each other?
No, but it also wasn't weird because I feel like I go over to Disney with me and the boys fairly regularly. I don't know if my audio is low for everybody. I'm using a different computer setup today. I'm trying to turn it up as much as I can. But yeah, I take the boys over. Typically it's like a Sunday afternoon, you know, let's just go over for a couple hours and maybe one of the boys will want to stay home kind of thing. But it's not foreign to have a one parent trip to Disney, a one parent hotel overnight, water park, you know, resort pool kind of stuff.
And with that setup, you can get away with a standard hotel room.
Well, that's what we did. It's a room that sleeps six anyway, but it's miserable when you're having six people sleeping there. So with five, it was a little bit easier.
This is interesting. Adam says, no more hotels for us, only Airbnbs. Now, I would agree with you, Adam, unless your parents are Marriott Vacation Club owners and they gift you weeks at a time, then, you see where I'm going with that.
Yeah, but then you do that.
Yes.
That is the right thing to do.
I'm not against the Airbnbs. I'm also a big fan of Vrbo because I think Vrbo does... Andrew, what is happening over there?
Did I mess with something?
Yes. Your audio just got crazy.
Did it get loud?
It did get loud, and now it sounds good.
Okay, we'll take it. I have no idea what I just touched. But now what was barely getting into the yellow is now getting into red. So I'll back off just a little bit. But hey, I fixed it accidentally.
CJ says, Andrew, turn off the dryer. Yeah, for about 6 seconds there, we thought you had fallen into the dryer and you were just tumbling over and over. It sounds better now.
Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. In my defense, I was trying to set up as though there were two people in person. And my buddy said, I'm not going to come hang out. I'm not going to have lunch with you. Let's record three podcasts today, but not see each other. That's exactly what he said.
That does make my heart hurt. Andrew, the show's called The Morning After Ministry Show because we hang out every single Monday, sometimes in the same room, sometimes we're not in the same room, and we talk the week in ministry that was. However, this last week, we were both on spring break. So How did Sunday work for you? I opted, I don't want to prep a sermon this week. I wanted to have, you know, pretty exclusive family time. I told the elders and staff, like, emergencies only, otherwise don't contact me. I'll catch up on email when I catch up on email, which that's the worst part of this because
that's
I had
a terrible feeling.
I had 537 emails by the end of the week. It was just miserable. On Saturday, I had to get caught up a little bit.
My email somehow got blacklisted. Ooh. And so I couldn't send out any church emails. Like, there's something happened with an IP address. I have no idea. But so it was hours and hours of going back and forth with our hosting service.
It did, Laura. And it did sound like someone was rolling a dumpster past your office window. It's good now.
Just
it's totally
me.
Fine now.
I have no idea what I touched.
No, you're totally good now. So did you preach yesterday? Did you have a guest
I
preacher?
Did.
Did you have a sermon
yesterday.
Ready to go?
I was not gone as much as you were. I crammed a week of spring break into 2 days. So I was regular office hours Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And on Thursday, the boys came in with me and they posted up in our worship center and played video games and whatnot on their devices while I got the last little bit of work done. So I had sermon mostly outlined, ready to go by Wednesday. And then Wednesday was when my wife left, and so I was on full-time single-parent mode for the rest of the week after that. But yeah, so I preached on yesterday morning, and it was also our annual meeting yesterday, so I had that to prep as well, which, you know, it was one of the years where we have no new elders coming on, and so it was a fairly easy annual meeting. The way it works is our elders approve the budget, but the congregation does not vote on the budget. So the budget is presented, but it's information only at that point kind of thing. But still, I kind of give the State of the Union type of address. You know, hey, church, here's where we've been. Here's where we're going. Yesterday, one of the things that was unique that I've never done before is because tomorrow is the 7-year anniversary of me being hired here. It was, hey, our denomination is pretty adamant about pastors taking sabbaticals after 7 years in a lead pastor role. And so I'm not going to be around quite as much this summer, and I'm going to be gone some in the fall. I want to let you know right now that that's going to happen because I don't want any whispers or any people wondering if I am, you know, off elsewhere doing other things or looking for another job. So I wanted to kind of get ahead of letting the church know that this was an extension of my commitment to the church. It was not me trying to skirt being at the church. And it's a time for the church to realize that they can function without me, and a time for me to realize that the church can function without me as well. But so that was part of the annual meeting is, hey, this is coming.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be wondering why it's happening.
So this is a different, this wasn't on our docket for this morning, Andrew, but I did have a question here. So your sabbatical is coming due. However, you're opting to not take it all at once. Is that what I'm hearing? You're going to like take it in spurts, a couple of weeks here and a couple of weeks there?
Yeah. It with young kids, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
And I'm doing a big part of it, the kind of academic part of it. I'm hopefully doing at a seminary over in Scotland, and they don't have any offerings in the summer. It's a smaller school, so they kind of shut down from middle of June through middle of September. And so it doesn't make sense to be like, hey, I'm on, you know, if that's one of the things I want to pursue, that needs to be done when it's offered. So I'm doing just a little bit more rest time over the summer and then the more academic study part in the fall.
Did any of your elders present that, or was that all you presenting that?
That was me. That was me saying, here's what our denomination wants. Here's what the denomination will fund, which is a big, which makes it pretty easy to sell. You know, hey.
So elders present at the annual meeting? Are they the ones that presented the budget, or did you do that too?
Our treasurer presents the budget. So, yeah. And our treasurer is not an elder during this season. So our treasurer, Ann, is the one who presented the budget that the elders had approved previously. So the elders get to vote and manipulate in a good way, you know, fiddle with what needs to be fiddled with in the budget. But it just makes sense to have the treasurer present it because she's the one who's doing the work of actually preparing it and making sure all of the lines equal to what they're supposed to equal to.
Now, here's the important question.
Did you meet over food spreadsheet? We didn't. Well, we had our regular food time afterwards, but this was, hey, so why we said not, amen.
Why not, hey, meet over in the fellowship hall. We're going to have food and do the annual meeting while we eat together. I feel like that's a very safety harbor church thing to do.
That is a great idea. And remind me about this time next year or a month from now next year, because I think that's a great idea. Because it's always, hey, we're going to go over, you know, if you're a member, stick around. If you're not, you get first dibs on a casserole. Also, yesterday being St. Patrick's Day, someone made shepherd's pie and a delicious stew. So we had very Irish foods. It was awesome. That is a great idea, and that is very much us, to do the annual meeting in the fellowship hall with food. And maybe that's what we should be doing moving forward. It just hasn't been done that way because you've never suggested it to me.
I'm sorry. And the Miller party did take a full spring break this past week, and I spring broke all the way through Sunday. Here's the weird thing. The hotel visit ended on Saturday. I'm almost wishing it ended on Sunday because I was kind of like, well, do I go to church?
What do you do on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, Steph's like, no, like you took off through Sunday. You haven't missed a Sunday all year. So yes, yesterday was the first Sunday I physically was not there this year, which is bizarre for me. You know, I typically would not do that. It just didn't work out that way this year.
And then you're watching online, even though you know you're 10 minutes away.
Yes. So I watched the entire first service with my entire family sleeping. I'm making a big breakfast, hoping they'll get up in time to eat it while watching first service, which was awesome, by the way. Like I did not do anything. You know what I mean? Like normally on a Sunday morning, I'm making sure everything's going smooth and we're, you know, playing tech guy and just doing all those behind the scenes things. But our team rocked it, even though I had half the staff was out. So I was not there. Our worship leader was not there. I had an elder.
I looked at your live stream for a minute and I was like, I don't know who that is leading worship.
So that was one of our elders leading worship, which was phenomenal. And then one of our elders also preached. So I had two elders in pretty prominent roles, which was, I don't know. I don't know if that's happened at Lakeview in a long time, but it was pretty cool. So I just got to participate online. It was weird for me not to be there, especially on just a
Tim, let me ask you
normal Sunday.
The question that everybody's thinking, Tim. So you're there in the living room by yourself, the rest of your family sleeping in. Did you sing along? Did you sing along with the live stream, or did you sit and nod your head?
I sung quietly. It was a lot of in my head singing. You know how the live stream is. Like it's awkward to sing like really loud on a live stream. I was there.
I mean,
I just wasn't there. That's pretty much like the definition of a live stream. Like you can be there without being there, but you're not really there.
I get it. But
Bob opened up the sermon with a joke about wanting to pull his best. Bob wanted to pull his best Tim look, so he said he grew out the beard. He just doesn't have a lot of hair on top, and he couldn't fit into his skinny jeans. It was a great line. It was really funny. I got multiple texts after that line of Bob's making fun of you right now. I was like, I'm very thankful.
Professor Leffler, you got to love that guy.
And he had this great line about, hey, Lakeview Church, just a reminder, this church is not all about Tim Miller. And I'm like, I love that. That was so good. It was so good.
Well, I agree, Lakeview. It is not just about Tim. Yeah, that's what I said about the sabbatical. It's like, yes, there's rest, but it's also because the church needs to recognize that it can be done without Andrew, and Andrew needs to realize that the church would survive should he get hit by a bus.
I think that's harder for...
That'd be a terrible way to go.
I think it's harder for us, Andrew. Like, the anxiety levels that, like, anytime we miss, it's hard to just enjoy not being there because, like, all you can think about is all the things that you're not doing that you would normally do while you're there. So I don't know.
And then when you're watching the little quirky things that you're like, yeah, that was a silly thing, but whatever, no big deal. But then if you see somebody else do that, you're like, oh my word, I can't believe they did that. Don't they know that this is being recorded for posterity's sake and this will be out there on the internet for forever? And like, dude, you basically picked your nose last week, or you said something way more off color or whatever it is, but it's just hard to spectate sometimes.
It's very difficult.
It's a good reminder.
And we have to have that mindset that Sunday's always coming. So even if something is a little quirky one Sunday, guess what? We're going again next Sunday. Same exact times, same exact place, every single Sunday. Stuff is going to happen.
It sure does, Tim. Every single week.
All right, Andrew, we're coming up into really Super Bowl of ministry time frame for us. Holy
I'm tired
Week
already.
Is upon us. Walk us through your Holy Week schedule. Are things going to pick up a bit for you guys, or do you still do the Sunday morning sunrise service with the community that you guys have typically done in the past?
Tim, it's a disaster.
Oh no,
it is.
I thought, when is it your turn to preach that thing?
See, that's the thing. I preached it last year. But the pastor who has played quarterback.
Wait, you might need to fill everybody in. So people who aren't familiar, you guys team up as a city
of Safety Harbor.
There you go.
In partnership, because the city can't put on an Easter service. So the Kiwanis Club of Safety Harbor puts on a sunrise Easter service that the city parks and rec department volunteers their time and resources for. So the city comes and they put up all the chairs and they set up all the stuff. It's literally at sunrise on the waterfront here on Tampa Bay. Yep. And
it's really pretty.
We have all of the local Safety Harbor churches. I shouldn't say all of, several of the local Safety Harbor churches, pretty much the churches downtown. And of the churches downtown, we're the biggest. We're 95 people in person on a good week, and we're the biggest of the downtown churches. And so it's a kind of a neat feel that all these different churches are coming together. So one church will do music, one pastor will preach, one person will kind of do the welcome and the benediction or call for the offering. And so we make sure that, we have four or five different denominations represented in all these different congregations. And we also recognize that a good 2/3 of the people are the classic lilies and poinsettias, that they're not going to church every Sunday, because if they were, they would be going to their, thank you, they would be going to their church on Easter Sunday. And so we all kind of powwow, we get together, we go to Poblano's, a local Mexican restaurant, and plan the service a couple of times. But okay. Tim,
when did the service planning happen? I don't remember this.
That's the issue. Oh. One pastor has played quarterback on this thing for 10 years.
I see.
He kind of quietly left his church without saying anything to anybody.
What?
In August or September.
Did he tell his church? Did he not show up?
He told his church, but he didn't tell anybody at the Kiwanis Club, or he didn't reach out to any of the other pastors. And so I'm now the most tenured of the local guys, but I'm like, the Kiwanis Club didn't ask me to reach out to the other pastors, so I don't want to be presumptuous. The other pastors, one of the guys is at Countryside Baptist, where your kid's school is located. He's like the same thing. He's like, I don't want to step on toes by doing this. And so finally I sent out an email and the website contact form from the Kiwanis Club. I'm like, guys, I don't know if you realize this, but none of the pastors that have put this thing on the past 7 Easters that I've been a part of it have gotten any word from you at all as to what we're supposed to be doing. And so I got an email back on Thursday morning, like, yep, we got you down on the yes list that you'll participate. I'm like, but what am I participating in? I'm not preaching. I did that last year. The worship leader that's led worship the past several years is no longer on staff at the church that he was on staff at. And the people that get the credit for organizing the service are meeting for the first time to discuss it Wednesday morning, like the day after tomorrow, 10 days away from Easter. So I don't know what I'll be doing at sunrise on Easter Sunday. I'll be doing something on sunrise.
So there is a small chance you could be preaching. What if they say, Andrew, we have no one else?
I would do a 17-minute version of what I'm
Your
doing
Easter
Sunday morning. So
That's
I'm,
what
we're doing
have
like
to
a
do.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be a separate thing, or I'd pull out like one of the greatest hits from Easter's past or something, but I'm really hoping that's not the case, because I also don't want to be the local pastor who's done the sunrise service 2 years in a row. That's kind of the point of how we're rotating through, that it's not just one church who's doing it.
But with one you of the being guys, the longest tenured in the area, you might not have a choice.
I know. It's frightening, and I've got a whole lot of anxiety about it because I won't know anything until Wednesday. So that's how our Easter morning starts out, and it's usually fairly chaotic.
Is that a 7 a.m. service?
It is. It's been 6:30. It's whatever time sunrise is. It is the 15-minute mark closest to sunrise. So I don't even know. Whatever sunrise is on March 31st, that's what time the service starts.
I should probably look that up because, we have a 7 a.m. It's probably going to be very, very dark at 7 a.m.
Yeah, because it's an early Easter. So it's dark when we start, and it's also either freezing cold or incredibly humid.
It's never in the middle. Last year the warm one where we were sweating through?
Last year was humid. Yeah, last year I was sweating through everything.
And 2 years ago was very, very cold, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So it has been flipping flopping on us.
Yeah, but so that's how our Easter is going to start. For our Holy Week, we'll do Palm Sunday service where we hit pause on the series that we've been
okay,
in.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
7 weeks.
Do you pause for Holy Week? Do you just pause for Easter? So will you do a Palm Sunday specific and an Easter specific sermon? Or do you carry on with your series?
So we've been in Genesis. We've been kind of like with the patriarchs. We're doing a Tales as Old as Time, kind of going through lessons and things that you can glean from the life of the patriarchs. So we've been there for 7 weeks, and Jacob isn't married yet. Joseph hasn't been born yet. So we've got several weeks left. You know, there's still a lot of meat on the bones. And when you've spent 2 months in a specific book, you kind of know, hey, I can't go back to that book for the next year or so. And so I want to kind of get a little bit more meat off the bones there in Genesis. But then we're hitting pause, and we'll have a 3-week series that's kind of Easter from Peter's perspective. So from Palm Sunday through, you know, the restoration of Peter after Easter as well. So a 3-week Jesus-centric, but from Peter's perspective series. And then we'll go back to Genesis on April 14th, I think is the date. So that's the plan for that. And so Palm Sunday service and then Easter down at the waterfront. And we had talked about splitting, you know, do we want to do two services? And the elders didn't, and which is exciting because that would have required extra work for me. And they said, nope, that's we want the big packed out space. And so we're trying to finagle some additional parking from the elementary school and a golf cart rental to ferry people back and forth for the, you know, it's maybe 150 yards total from the elementary school parking lot to ours. So it's not that big of a deal. But so we're going to be trying to do whatever we can do to get as many people physically at the church as possible between inside and outside. And we do not do a Good Friday service. I know you guys have like the very somber, serious Good Friday. We're not doing that. So that's a little bit easier that I don't have to go right from one sermon into the next.
So I've been debating back and forth. I like the Jesus-centric idea, especially for Holy Week. I was reading through the manuscript you sent over, Andrew, your Palm Sunday manuscript. I think it was 23. Maybe it was the one you preached last year.
I sent that in our Practically Pastoring.
The key theme there was we can worship Jesus even if we don't fully understand everything there is to know about God or Jesus, or even understand why we're going through what we're going through in that moment. I really like that idea. It was this, things could change in a moment. Your open was really good because you had the look back on COVID. Yep. So
with the screenshots of, what our service looked like that same time.
I'm like debating right now because I can do one more week in Ecclesiastes, or we can push pause. We can do Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and then jump back into Ecclesiastes the week after Easter, which not a big deal. Again, the only people that would probably care are me and you, right? Like, I don't know that anybody is really going to care all that much, but for me, I want it to make sense. And leading into Holy Week, kicking off Holy Week, I'm like, I'm going to read the text from Ecclesiastes again today to see if it any way makes sense. I don't know. but I want the Jesus-centered focus, and I almost like a mini three-parter in 7 days, because I can do Palm Sunday, Good Friday,
Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday.
So I can do a mini three-parter right there, solely focused on Holy Week, which would make a ton of sense. So now that I'm saying it out loud, that's probably what we're going to do. John was wondering, apparently John has not been listening during announcements. Yes, John, we have a Maundy Thursday gathering. It's not a service. We are doing a prayer walk around the lake, which is pretty cool for Maundy Thursday this year. For a couple of hours, our prayer team is going to be out and about around the lake. We just purchased, I think, 7 benches to place around the lake, as well as a few picnic tables. And we are doing a Stations of the Cross prayer walk around the lake on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday leading up to our Good Friday service. So we'll have members from our prayer team actually stationed during the prayer walk to be able to pray with you, for you. There'll also be a QR code for you to scan, and there's going to be a guide to walk you through the prayer walk around the lake. This is pretty cool. We've never done anything like this. I saw the final version this morning from our prayer coordinator. She's doing a fantastic job. So I'm excited about this particular event. I didn't have to do anything, Andrew. That's kind of one of my favorite parts about this. I'm not having to prep a sermon. I don't have to prep a special service. If you've ever been a part of a Maundy Thursday, Erica, I was wondering when it was coming. What is Maundy? And she did spell it right, because it's typically pronounced wrong. A lot of people want to call it Maunday. It is not Maundy.
It's the Latin for mandate. It comes from when Jesus says, "A new command I give unto you, love one another." And so that is the mandate, the Maundy.
So the typical Maundy Thursday, the Maundy Thursday service is almost like a breaking of the bread together to symbolize the last meal, Last Supper, which Lakeview has done in the past. We've actually done a very formal Last Supper meal together on Maundy Thursday. And our previous pastor would kind of do an overview of why we're gathering, why we're doing this. It was a lot of fun.
It's
but
almost like he grew up Presbyterian, because it is a very Presbyterian thing to do Maundy Thursday and not
everyone's
do Good
very
Friday.
Impressed with your Latin. They're impressed with that doctorate flex you just pulled on all of us.
Or because I spent 6 years working at a very Presbyterian church.
So Andrew and I have been in this world for a few years now. So we're doing something a little bit different on Maundy Thursday. We're not going to be gathering around and doing a Last Supper meal together, but we will be praying together and prepping our hearts for what's to come, because Friday night is our, and I tell everyone this is kind of like our PG-13 service. So my three oldest will probably be in the room. My two youngest will not be. I think Zoe, my middle child, has already said she probably doesn't want to be in there. It's graphic. Like we talk about the cross and from a historical perspective and what people actually went through on the cross, and it's not pleasant or pretty in any way. So we don't broadcast it online. I'm a little nervous, Andrew, because we're only doing one service this year, and the last few weeks one service has been tight, and we've been running two services. So we'll see how Good Friday goes. Maybe not a lot of people show up, because I've told everyone, I'm not like, there's nothing new here. I'm not trying to preach a new sermon. This is going to be not quite verbatim, but it'll probably be a hybrid of the last two Good Fridays that I've done. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you feel about preaching the same thing in back-to-back years, but on Good Friday, I don't have any problem with it. And I just tell people, look, it's going to be a very similar sermon to the one we preached last year, because it's the same theme.
You know, it's funny. I was checking out local church live streams, as I do, on Sunday afternoon, and one of the churches that I tune into from time to time is the Lutheran church where Landon goes to school.
Yeah.
And they preach the same thing on a schedule at the same church, you know, or at every church that there is, because they're following the liturgical calendar. And so I think it's being in super evangelical world, we think, oh, do I have to say something new and unique?
Right.
And no, because churches have been literally preaching the same sermons on the same dates every few years for a millennia.
So,
but we still, like, I don't know if it's just, there's something about it. Like, we feel this pressure. Like, if I don't come up with new content, am I a fraud? Am I not doing my job? But then at the same time, is if I'm saying something that hasn't been said before, I'm probably a heretic. There's nothing, there shouldn't really be anything new here. If,
especially, it's not like you're in Habakkuk coming up with an under exegized passage. You're talking about the most read chapters of any piece of literature ever written. You're not going to come up with something new. So you might as well lean into that.
So that's our Holy Week leading up to Easter Sunday. And then Easter Sunday is going to be crazy. That's our sunrise. John just shared with me that it is 7:21 a.m. this year, Andrew. So we have a 7:21 a.m. So that's going to work out great, John, because what we do is we'll have our worship set first before the sermon, like a typical service would. And that usually lasts about 20 minutes on sunrise. And then it's a 20 to 25 minute sermon.
Right when Timmy starts talking, everybody starts squinting.
Exactly. That's what's funny about that is because the sun comes up on my back. So everyone pulls their sunglasses out at the exact same time.
Your back will get sweaty and everybody else will be like, ooh, that's a bright sunrise coming up.
So we've got our 7 a.m.
Does Lake Lakeview have a name?
It's just Lake Lakeview as of now. Maybe if I die.
It can be Lake Miller?
I don't know. That's
you could name it after Peyton, Lake Johnson.
True. You could do that.
I feel like there's a lot of different options.
There are a lot of options. We've never actually talked about naming the lake.
I wonder what it takes to name a body of water and get it, you know, on maps and stuff. You could do something like super spiritual, like Redemption Lake, or I don't know. I feel like Lake Lakeview needs a name.
Lake Lakeview. It could be Lake Sam.
Lake Sam.
Lake Sam. I think that has a nice ring to it. Lake Redken.
You know,
the sun rises, but it Tim, does. Sam, thanks for that.
Tim does feel like the sun rises and sets on his whims.
Not true. Andrew, we've got three services on Easter this year, 7, 9, and 11, which is pretty standard for Lakeview. We always, I don't know that I've ever been to Lakeview where it wasn't a three service Easter Sunday morning. So I will probably preach the same sermon at all three with no modifications, just because we have enough time. We got 2 hours in between each one. So if each service runs an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, that's not the end of the world. Our worship team is doing one extra song, I think. So we'll have a 5-song set, 4 before the sermon, 1 after the sermon. And then inside, I always like to spice it up just a bit with a few videos.
That's a long day for your praise team, too. I mean, the worship set
is a little bit different. There's a lot of them for sunrise. So that is a slimmed down worship team. The full team is there for 9 and 11. CJ says the lake we view. That's good. Erica's wondering who started Lakeview. That would be Pastor Peyton Johnson. So that's one as well. That one would make a lot of sense to me.
I think so too.
John says 5. John, what are you talking about? Stop it.
Tim,
does he want 5 Easter services? There's no way.
I think we need to take votes and suggestions on this show and declare a winner and officially get the lake named. You could name the lake after me just because we're buddies and that would be a nice thing to do.
Now, would I have to put a doctor in there, like Lake Dr. Larson? Doctor Lake Doctor.
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. Or do you want to, Lake whatever or whatever lake? You know, do you want it Lake Miller or Miller Lake?
Oh, John is upset because we're doing 5 songs. 4 is already too much.
Well then, John, just show up a few minutes late. You'll be fine.
He does blame that it on anyways. The
Easter. Blame it on the Easter parking. You're fine.
Sam is just not going for this, Andrew. I don't know how we're going to be able to convince Sam how to properly name this lake. It could be Lake 5G, right? Because the 5G radiation just emits off the lake.
It's crazy because now all of your alligators have three eyes and six toes, and it's nuts.
Laura says, isn't there a lake slash neighborhood around Orlando called Dr. Phillips? It could be called Dr. Larson.
Yes. That's a true statement.
We do still have a turkey issue, CJ. There's always turkey poop on our sidewalks. Lake. How about Turkey Lake?
Turkey poop lake? Oh, Turkey Lake, not turkey poop. Turkey I thought you were saying poop. Turkey poop.
Turkey poop lake? John says, why not let the church body submit suggestions and then vote on it? This could be a fun project. I think the Morning After Ministry show should also have a say in this.
The Morning After Lake?
The Morning After.
I think we could be like, yes.
Anita says Prayer Walk Lake. It's going to be a prayer walk. Now, our disc golfers might have another name for it because the disc, Andrew, it's official. The disc golf course is coming. It's going to be in by the end of next month. So everything has been ordered. It's coming.
See, when you were talking about the prayer walk, I was going to make a joke about what happens if someone's praying and they get hit in the head with the disc, because that would be tragic.
We've talked about that. So we're going to have to figure that out. CJ says Suns Out Guns Out Lake. Erica says Jaguar Lake. I mean, if they ever win a Super Bowl, that might be the route we take.
Lake Trevor.
Lake Trevor? Great. If he's named Super Bowl MVP, yes.
I can't believe that the lake has never been named. I can't
like you
believe
have to have like a plaque, right?
Point out, yeah.
A plaque a little by placard. There.
I think you should find find some potential donors and be like, look, I'm just saying naming rights for the lake are available.
How about this? If you pay off our mortgage,
we will name the lake after you.
After you, I mean, or you can have a major say in the name of the lake.
You can name the lake.
You can name the lake.
Look, we can't do that at Safety Harbor Community Church. There's no lake to name. We
can't name your body of water.
We can like carve a brick with your name in it. We can, you know, etch your name into a fence panel.
You guys could sell parking spots.
We could sell parking spots.
All right, fine. Sam has finally agreed to something. If you can help us pay off this mortgage, you're going to help us name the lake. I just think that's John. Okay, how about Radiation Lake? That one has a nice name to it. It explains why all the gators are like just way too large. Some of them are deformed.
I think that would be just fabulous. It'd be great. Tim, I want one other thing that we're doing. It's just because ministry, things don't always happen as they're planned. So we ended our annual meeting yesterday, and I had made mention at the beginning of the service, hey, when the annual meeting is done, fellas, let's show the women that chivalry is not dead, but we need to get all of the chairs in the worship center stacked because the election is in there tomorrow. And of course, then it was an hour and a half later by the time the annual meeting was done.
This is the Pinellas County election. This isn't like the elect getting elected.
I think it's a national election day, depending on, you know, but it's municipal is what we're voting on. But, yes. And so then as we're stacking chairs, it was it's time to definitely have the rug shampooed. And so now we're piggybacking with the election to try to get Stanley Steamer here after the election equipment.
I was about to say, wait till they leave. Otherwise, it's going to be disgusting.
Well, yes, but it's just really funny because it was one of those, you know, we're doing all this stuff. And then, well, because the election's here, well, then the preschool is having recess in the fellowship hall so that they're not going outside. So we've got all the chairs stacked in there. And well, if we're doing carpet cleaning in the one room, we should do it in both big rooms.
Knock it all out.
It's just one of those really funny things that you don't think about when you're in seminary or Bible college, that sometimes you might need to piggyback an election and a rug shampooing at the same time, because
especially when it's leading up to Easter, right? Because right before Easter is typically when you want to spruce up the place.
Everything will smell nice.
I'm all for it. We're getting a few new handicap spots put in, hopefully this week. We're getting our sign, the base of the sign, so all the landscaping is getting redone this week. We have Andrew, I didn't even tell you about this. A
six-person
golf cart was just approved. So we're going to have sweet pickup options for anyone in need of a ride from their car to the door of Lakeview. So
I love it.
A lot happening right before Easter.
I love all of the things. Timmy.
Including the election that's happening at Lakeview too.
Yeah. It is lunchtime.
Yep. I'm getting
hungry. There's election equipment being dropped off.
Yep.
And we're going to jump on and go hang out with Practically Pastoring here in just a few minutes too.
All right, so we'll see all of you in about a week. Andrew, I'll see you in about 51 minutes.
It'll be great. Hey, thanks for coming, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Have a great week.